at least I know when I'm going to get off on a sidetrack. And today, I am going to get off on a sidetrack. Well, actually two sidetracks. Sorry, folks, but you'll be glad I did by the time this show's over. You will be glad I did. And you will say to yourselves, among yourselves, why doesn't Martin go off on more sidetracks? Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I'm going to read you a couple of letters I got here. One, this is a totally unrelated topic, which will be followed by another unrelated topic. Brother Martin, I sound like a monk. You know, Brother Martin, I don't know about that. It sounds a little religious to me. Brother Martin, it sounds like I should have a burlap sack around me and a white rope or something and be making jam at the monastery. Anyway, Brother Martin, you requested several months ago that you needed people to stop emailing you and that you were going to stop answering them in order to have time to write your books by a certain deadline. That's sort of true. I didn't tell people to stop emailing me. I said, please email me. I'll read everything, but I won't necessarily be able to respond in a timely manner, or perhaps at all. I did say that. All right, but I'm going to be changing that, I think. Let me finish this email. Yet in your podcast, 226 Zender Special, you said, quote, write me. I need the encouragement. I really do, unquote. Yeah, I'm sure I said that. Well, which is it? This writer wants to know, should we write and tell you that you are doing a wonderful job? Yes, by the way, yes. Tell me I'm doing a great job. Adjectives are appreciated. Wonderful, great, stupendous, outstanding, brilliant, genius. Any adjective you can think of, please write and tell me. Even if you have to look into thesaurus, I don't care. Cut and paste from thesaurus.com and send it to me. All right, let me finish this. Should we write... Should we write and tell you you're doing a wonderful job and that we love how deep you are going into the scriptures, not just Paul's evangel? Answer is yes. Or should we not write and encourage you? Okay, that's a no-brainer. I think too much time in your writing... Okay, here, let me start that sentence again. Here you go. I think too much time in your writing cave in that scary funeral home has made you a little bit split personality. What are you talking about? 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 Will the real Martin Zender please stand up? Just kidding. When people say just kidding, they're not. So that's fine. Don't say it. Don't say you're just kidding. You're not. It's fine. I can handle it. Just kidding, but have no doubt I and many, many others not only listen, but download and keep all your wonderful writings. See, there's an adjective. You see how this gentleman did this? I download and keep all your wonderful writings. This is where the thesaurus can help. All your amazing writings, all your mind-bogglingly stupendous writings. So just get a thesaurus. Go to thesaurus.com. We download and keep all your wonderful writings, but re-listen and reread them over and over. I do appreciate that, honestly. I love to hear this. I love what you do, the writer continues, and I know God loves you. And I thank God for that. Yep, he does. You are truly to be greatly rewarded at the dais for your faithful service. God bless, and I love you, brother. What a great letter. Yeah, I had a little bit of fun with it, but yes, what a wonderful letter. So the answer is, write me. Don't hold back. Don't hold back the adjectives. Tell me how much you love me, and you love the writing, and you love this show, and I will respond. I'm trying. I did say that before. I don't think I said exactly that, like, don't write me. I don't think I said that. I said, please write, but I won't be able to respond. But, you know, I found as soon as I started doing that, I couldn't keep doing it. I could not keep away. I couldn't not answer email. So I do need to hear from you. I don't care what it takes, you know. I mean, you may have to wait a while for a response, and sometimes emails do fall between the cracks, but I do read them. This is what I do. I read them, and especially if there's a detailed question, I'll then hit it as mark as unread, and then it'll go into the file, and I've read it, but I have not responded to it, thinking I'll go back later. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So for 20 years, folks, I prided myself on answering every bit of email. So in this last 6 months, I've slipped a little bit, and I apologize for that. Thank you for your patience. I am making progress on these books. Stand by. Things are going to happen in a rapid succession. I mean, the books are going to come out one after the other once they do start coming out. So don't be discouraged. Now, thank you for that email. That is really helpful, and I hope I explain that to people, that I'm really not schizophrenic. I'm quite healthy, quite well-adjusted person now. Hey, Martin, this is a scriptural question, and this is good. And again, this we're departing from the topic of Hebrews, but this is worthy. Hey, Martin, just letting you know I'm definitely listening. You're the first thing I download in the morning and enjoy listening to on my way to work. Thank you very much. Question for you. Christianity has this massive modesty culture, particularly among the more fundamentalist sects. That's S-E-C-T-S. They often smash people down with 1 Timothy chapter 2. Going to get to that right now, folks. Live here on the Martin Zender Show. Frankly, the writer says, I'm having difficulty properly understanding this passage. Even in the Concordant version, it seems to read very masochistic and controlling. That's a strong word, masochistic. You really had to reach deep into thesaurus.com for that one. That's okay. Which can't be the way Paul intended it to be at all. He was the apostle of grace and freedom. Unfortunately, my Western mindset is probably corrupting my understanding of this passage. Can you shed some light on this sometime, please? My young friend, I am going to do it now. I am going to shed much light, not some, but much light on this passage. Now, for all of you, let's read the passage that is troubling our friend here. Speaking of women and what they wear, this is a topic near and dear to my heart. Women and what they wear. Here we go. Verse 9. We're reading from the scriptures here, folks. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Similarly, women also are to be adorning themselves in raiment decorously, with modesty and sanity, not with braids and gold or pearls or costly vesture, but what is becoming to women professing a reverence for God with good works. Now, this is one of those misapplied passages, one of those passages that religious people take to clobber you over the head and give you more restrictions. And this is why our friend here said this can't be what Paul meant, because he's the evangelist, the apostle of grace and freedom. Now, are we telling women that they can't adorn themselves? They can't look nice? They can't decorate themselves with braids? Gold? You can't wear a gold wedding band. That's what this is saying. And Clyde was telling me back in his Baptist days, he used to tell women not to wear rings, not to wear gold, costly vesture. If you have shoes, who's going to decide what's costly or not? Do you have to get your shoes at a shoe outlet or whatever the shoe place is? Pair of shoes costs more than $30, does that make it costly? Or is it over $50? Or do you have to get it at the bargain barn or at Goodwill? Who decides this? Or is this not at all what Paul's talking about? And he mentioned pearls. He mentions pearls here. A lot of you husbands or boyfriends, you want to get your wife or your girlfriend a nice little pearl necklace. Women love pearls. They're valuable. A lot of oysters gave it up for these pearls. And there they sit, you know, in these beautiful stands with these velvet display velvet thingies. And this is a wonderful thing. Are we now going to become religious because of this passage? Well, religious people have twisted this passage. Let's finish this, and then we're going to go to a similar passage in 1 Peter, and it's going to shed even more light on this passage. Let's read it again. Similarly, women also are to be adorning themselves. First of all, let me point this out. They are to be adorning themselves. Women are to be adorning themselves, period. That's great. You see? All right, we're getting to the truth here. In raiment decorously, decorating themselves with modesty and sanity, not with braids and gold or pearls or costly vesture, but what is becoming to women professing a reverence of God with good works. In other words, the key here is that women are to show their good works. They're to show their glory by their good works. This Paul is telling women not to be adorning themselves with this stuff instead of good works. Like, don't think that by wearing pearls and costly things that this is your profession, that you're professing somehow your love of God with these things, but rather let it be with good works. You see, it's a woman who would substitute pearls or expensive clothes for good works. Paul's saying, don't let this be your adornment. Don't adorn yourself with these things, thinking that that's your true adornment, because your true adornment is good works. Okay, it seems a little maybe, you're stretching it, Zender. All right, stop that. I'm not stretching it. Look at this, and I got proof here. 1 Peter 3, Peter's saying the same thing, but watch this. Watch this, talking about wives. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 3, whose adornment, talking the same word Paul uses, whose adornment, in other words, there is this adornment. They're already adorned. Now we're commenting on women adorned, all right? Whose adornment, let it not be the outside of braiding. There's the word braid again, same word Paul used. Of braiding aught into the hair and of decking with gold. Paul used that. Or putting on of garments. Look at this. Or putting on of garments. Going to come back there quick. But the hidden human of the heart and the incorruptibility of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight costly. So in other words, what is really costly and what you should be forwarding to the world is your meek and quiet spirit. So he's saying, let the costliness and the incorruptibility of yourself not be in the outside. Don't let it be in the outside. He doesn't say don't wear anything on the outside. He says don't let your adornment, don't let your incorruptibility and the hidden thing of the heart be an outward thing. What people really want to see is the profession of your true beauty, which is that which God puts in there. Which is a meek and quiet spirit. That's your true beauty. And there's evidence here that Peter's not saying don't wear fancy clothes. He's saying whose adornment, let it not be the outside. Let your adornment not be the outside. Then he lists things on the outside of braiding anything into the hair and of decking with gold or putting on of garments. So you're putting on of garments. If you're going to take this argument that this is a list of things women aren't supposed to do or wear, then you have to say Peter is promoting nudity here. Let not women be putting on garments. That's what it says. But no, the point is, don't think that the putting on of garments is your true adornment. Yes, these are adornments. Gold, braids. Yes, you can wear these things, but don't let your adornment be these things. Don't think that because you have costly jewelry, costly clothes, shoes that cost more than $50, don't think that that is what is costly in God's sight. So you see, it's not that women can't wear these things. It's that these things can't be the cornerstone of their faith, that there has to be an underlying costliness, which is a mild and quiet spirit. All right, I hope that clears things up for folks because, you know, and one more thing, really what Peter and Paul are both saying here is that women wearing these jewels and these nice clothes, it's actually a good thing because they're comparing it. They're comparing it to a good godly spirit. And so people could look at those clothes and have a positive comment, a positive opinion of that woman. But neither Peter nor Paul want that woman to make the opinion of others concerning their wardrobe be the thing that becomes their identity, that puffs them up. But rather, the Spirit of God, the mild spirit, the quiet spirit of Jesus Christ, which in God's sight is the costliest thing of all. I hope this has been a help. Thanks for writing these emails to me. Folks, keep writing. I need to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I'll try to get back with you as soon as I can. If I can't, please forgive me. Please be patient. There are many of you, thank God, but there's only one of me, so I'm doing the best I can here at the same time trying to do this show, write books, keep the newsletter going, and I'm working on a video for this weekend. I'm not promising, but I'm trying to get it out. And also the scripture conferences, and I met a guy for lunch today who wanted to talk scripture in a city 25 miles away. So lots going on here, more work going out now than ever before. As always, I appreciate you. I need your support, your moral support, your financial support is always appreciated. I never ask for contributions, but I never turn one down. This stuff is free to you. I'm not going to put a price tag on the truth. You can't put a price tag on the truth. And that's where I stand. That's where I stay. This has been Martin Zender. Thank you for listening.